Okay, my question is, my husband has already filed for divorce, and I have not been able to get him to do anything. I don't see him. I don't even talk to him. My question is, would it be wise or not wise to get a court-ordered session with either, it would probably have to be with one of the other people who does the therapy because I can't afford you. Would it be wise to do that, or would it just make him more angry?
It would be, I got the question, and it's, it's a common question, something I've dealt with before. The government legislation, they mean well, but in my opinion, it would be unwise, because you can't legislate an open heart. You can legislate that somebody go and sit there in someone's office, but if it's something that they've been commanded to do, and something they're doing simply to comply with some legislation, then the likelihood of that having any impact positive is negligible. And there is, as you pointed out in your question, there is a reasonable likelihood that it'll actually have a negative impact. Now, there is one exception. If the legislation was such that they are going to require your husband to go to a significant amount of counseling. In other words, if the person he's going to be in front of is A, really competent, and B, and here's really the point I was leading to, and B, if they have enough time to develop a relationship with your husband, win the trust of your husband, and really have time to sort of warm his heart and break through his walls, so then it might be worthwhile. I emphasize might. It really would still depend on other variables, which we don't have time to get into tonight. But I would consider it like sort of a last hope, desperation effort. And again, I would only even consider it if you're in a state that's going to require your husband to do a significant amount of counseling. If it's just the situation where he's required, an hour or two, anybody can wiggle for an hour or two. Anybody can go and just sit there and keep their mouth and their heart closed. And, the chances of anybody being able to get through to somebody who is really that closed and really only doing it because it's legislated, is slim to none. That's why sometimes, I actually just recently had this situation. I forget what state it was. I think it was Pennsylvania. A husband agreed to a full-day house call, and she agreed to release him of his obligation for counseling. He did have, he was legally obligated, based on legislation, to go with a certain amount of counseling. I forget what it was, but whatever it was, he agreed to just one full day in order to be released. And in that case, if I or if somebody, anybody else that's competent and is experienced with these obstinate spouses has a full day with somebody, that's worth it. Because, somebody can wiggle for an hour. Nobody can wiggle for a day. If I get an opportunity, or again, somebody competent gets an opportunity to sit with an obstinate spouse belly to belly, for a full day, that is pregnant with possibility and would be worth it. So,
okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, see, in my state, it is only one session, so that wouldn't be
I wouldn't do it.
Like, how can I even, I can't even do talk charges or touch charges or nothing with him because he won't do anything with me. So I don't even know what to do.
Okay, so now this is your second question, and I haven't even gotten anybody else yet. So I'm going to answer the second, that's okay. I'm going to answer the second question very briefly, and then I'm going to move on. And I'm going to answer it because it's a very common question and it's a very important question. Basically, Dawn's saying, I'm in the Lone Ranger track, I'm dealing with an obstinate spouse, I don't think I can do any of what you're recommending, I'm stuck, what do I do? if you're in the Lone Ranger trek, be careful. Don't let yourself get away with excusing yourself. Don't let yourself get away with saying that you can't do this and you can't do that. Because as I'm about to demonstrate using Dawn as an example, when I have the opportunity to speak to somebody, I almost always can prove to them that everything I'm recommending in the program, you can do unilaterally. You may not be able to do it as well. It may not be as much fun. You may not get the right response, you might not get the response you're looking for, but you can do it. The principles and practices are applicable to Lone Ranger situations, and you can employ them unilaterally. And too often, people interpret what I'm teaching too literally and say, oh, date night, what are you kidding? I can't do that. My husband won't go out on a date. But you're sometimes missing the point. I'm not suggesting necessarily that you go out on a traditional date, although that's wonderful if you're in a duo track or if you're in the Lone Ranger track and you can do it. But what's the principle that Mort's really trying to get at when he talks about date night? It's time. And the question then that you need to ask yourself is, how, in my situation, can I create an opportunity to have time with my husband or my wife? Sometimes that time needs to come in the form of, for example, it's just an example, family time. That's not ideal. It's not where you want to be 6 months from now. But maybe that's the first step for you to create time together that'll give you more of an opportunity to connect and move the situation forward. I'll give you another example. I talk in the program about, you brought up talk charges. You don't need your husband's cooperation or participation or reciprocation to do a talk charge. Does he have a phone?
Yeah, but
Does he have a voicemail?
Yes.
Then you can do a talk charge. You call him, you get the voicemail, you call with a talk charge in mind. You don't just call and leave a voicemail, hi, it's Dawn, you know, call me back. No, you know he's not going to call you back. You know he's not going to pick up the phone. So whatever, you need to plan the talk charge. You need to plan the story or the joke or the, you know, or you're going to ask his opinion about something or whatever it's going to be, and you actually do it on the voicemail. Now, again, is that ideal? Is that what you should be doing if you're in the duo track? No. But that's the first step if you're dealing with an obstinate spouse. So if you're in the Lone Ranger track, you need to ask yourself, don't let yourself say, I can't do this. Instead, say to yourself, how can I do this? How can I apply this principle? How can I apply this practice? Because the people in the Lone Ranger track that succeed to turn their marriage around are the people that start small. They start slow. They do what they can within the situation they have, and they don't allow themselves to make excuses for why they can't do this and why they can't do that. I'll give you another example. I talk about the importance of giving gifts to your spouse, the kind that will make them feel understood and tickle their soul. Now, notice, nowhere in that section, and it's a huge section in the program, nowhere in that section do I ask you to ask for your spouse's permission. You don't need, it's nice if you have it, but you don't need your husband's permission, participation, cooperation, or reciprocation. It's something you can do every single week, unilaterally, and you should be doing it. Okay, Dawn, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Okay, good. You're welcome.